fluffy bread,
classic burger buns,
and so many carbs. Carb fear is real.
But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously, great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Steve, my good man, how the devil are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I've had an interesting day, Steve.
You certainly have.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to take it back to tell you the full story here. We're going to have to pull it back all the way to last night. And around this time, actually, last night, where we decided it would be a good idea to have a barbecue to and get pretty drunk, actually. We drunk through quite a lot of booze here, me, Cherie, and our housemates. So we were having quite a hefty one. Cherie probably left about, I don't know, midnight, 12:30-ish, went to bed. I was up until 3 or 4, just drinking in the garden. It was wonderful. I was trolleyed. I don't really remember going to bed. And then this morning, I wake up and I'm obviously hanging out of my arse, Steve. I'm so hungover. And I've been roped into helping our housemate's sister, who is about to open her holiday accommodation but is not ready. So we had to go down there and we were just weeding the garden, doing the gardening and helping out there. And then as we're coming back home, we noticed that there's billows of smoke appearing behind where we're staying, and it's like, right, that doesn't look okay. We should probably check that out. And the next thing I know, there's just a wildfire just engulfing at our surrounding hillsides, and we're like, well, shit. So we leg it up the hill. We've got our spades in hand, ready to start like beating out this fire. And we got to go check on the neighbour, obviously, who's at this point, his house is completely surrounded by fire. He's got his garage at this point wasn't on fire, but things weren't looking good in there. So he's running in about rescuing all his chickens and his birds and his turkeys and things. And we're trying to beat this fire out, and not much of a chance, really. It took the garage. There was a lot of gas explosions. Yeah, there was a lot. Like, we were okay. We were away from the explosions and just trying to keep it at bay until the fire brigade got there. But I'm now really suffering, Steve. I was doing that hungover. And I wasn't even just hungover, because I'd had some Prosecco as well while I was helping out do the gardening at someone else's house. So I was hungover, a bit pissed, fighting a fire, and now I'm a bit burnt and bruised and blistered and just a bit miserable, really.
Nice, mate. That's not your average day.
No, exactly. This is what happens when there's no racing on TV, Steve. I've got to find something else zany to do.
So last night you had a fire.
Yeah, the two fires are not related at all.
Right. We'll just clear that one right up.
Yeah, no, the wildfire happened because our neighbour decided he wanted to put a new fence line in, and obviously the best way to clear heather is to burn it when it's a windy day and there's been no rain for a week.
Dickhead.
Yeah, quite. So it's entirely his fault that the whole thing went up. But so we no longer have a fence now. That's fun, I suppose. I'm a big proponent for no fences in the world, so that's good.
Open boundaries, no borders, go for it.
Exactly, that's it. But it was fun. It's been a fun evening. I've never had to fight a wildfire before, Steve, so it was a new experience for me.
I've put out, not a wildfire, but I suppose it's a wildfire because it was on a heat. Put that out.
That counts, that's a wildfire.
Yeah, it wasn't that big though, we just stamped on it.
Oh, so we had a few acres to try and do battle with here.
That looked like it. When you showed me the pictures, I was like, whoa. Yeah. That's not your average bonfire I got out of hand. This is like a whole piece of heathland, gorseland,
yeah,
scrub gone up, and then we got the hero pose.
I'll post some of the photos in the Facebook group when this episode is released, because it was certainly it was fun. You can always trust Cherie to have her phone on her no matter what she's doing. We're there, she's wearing leggings I didn't even realize had pockets while we're trying to put this fire out, because we're not really prepared for this. So I was wearing, like, luckily my working clothes and a pair of, like, mesh trainers. So they're trashed, obviously. And Cherie's out there in her leggings and also her just general working clothes. And then she's got on her lip balm and her phone so she can take photos and so her lips don't get sore. So she was very well prepared for this situation.
Oh, dear. Well, you've got to make the most of these photo opportunities.
Well, that's exactly it, isn't it? How many times am I going to be, like, fighting an actual fire? It seems to be a weird thing that the Highlanders around here tell me is a thing that just happens sometimes. They've had 4 or 5 big fires since they've been here for the last 15 years or whatever. But obviously, I've never seen this, so it was quite it was quite exciting to start with. And then obviously adrenaline kicked in and that was pretty good. And then we were rescuing ducklings and things. And it was quite exciting. But now, fucking hell, mate, I'm on a bit of an adrenaline come down. And I'm not really sure whether I'm still a bit pissed or still a bit hungover. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know, mate. But I'm pretty sure you could have got yourself a leading part in Backdraft for that picture. Oh, dear. But at least you're all right. Nothing's destroyed. No one's lost a home.
No, that's exactly it. Like I say, one garage went up and there was a lot of good explosions in there. So that was quite exciting. But aside from that, I think one turkey died. But other than that, everyone and everything was fine.
Well, poor old turkey. But I'm sure he tasted good.
Big fuckers, mate. I've never seen a real turkey before.
Have you never seen one?
Not up close and personal. Turkeys are big animals.
Mate, they're hench. They are proper hedge and evil looking bastards as well.
Yeah, that I don't like that, like, gobbly bit. I don't know what that's called.
No, I don't know.
The gobbly bit.
Yeah, the bit under the chin. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Looks like a saggy ball bag.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like. And I'm sure it has a name, but I've got no idea what it is.
We'll just call it the Turkey's Chin Saggy Ball Bag.
The Turkey's Chin Saggy Ball Bag. That's quite the mouthful there.
Well, you know, we're not, yeah.
We're not giving it a scientific name here.
No, the flappy chin bit.
The flappy chin bit, that's what we'll go with. But yes, that's been my weekend, Steve. What have you been up to while there's been no racing?
Not a great deal, mate. We've had a very, very chilled weekend. It's been a good weekend for us, really. Sarah's treatment's all finished now, which is fucking splendid, cracking. She's kicked its ass, which is good. So,
happy days.
Just back to normal now, man. We've just, yeah, chilled with the boys, relaxed, really. Sarah did play football today while she still got the opportunity, and then managed to come home with a broken toe because she got stood on.
Got rid of one ailment, bring home a broken bone now instead.
Yeah, she came in the door limping. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, for fuck's sake, why? What have you done?
What's happened? She said, look at my toe. And it's like, the one next to a little toe, it is proper purple.
Okay.
Fucking hell.
It's not one thing, it's always another, eh?
Aye, liability, this woman. Tell you, don't get normal stuff, like just boring normal shit. Just wants the big stuff.
Yeah, but mate, if you're going to do it, let's do it properly, to be fair.
Yeah, but you don't just do it once.
Nah, that's fair. It's better stories this way, though. Much better stories.
I know. So what did you do for the last 3 years? Oh, blood clot, cancer.
And then a broken toe, which actually at the end of it doesn't seem that bad after all. When put into perspective, the broken toe is probably the preferable choice here.
Yeah, I'm just like, suck it up, love.
You've been through enough. You don't need to complain about broken toe.
Of all the things she's had, she's moaned about the toe the most. In like 4 hours. Come on, give her a rest.
Oh, dear. Right, that's very off-piece, though, there, Steve.
Well, we like going off-piece.
Exactly, and it's been there's been very little news in the world, but we'll go into what we know, and we will dive into our Jerez preview.
Let's go for it, mate.
Good stuff. Right, guys, I'm Tim, he's Steve, and this is For the Love of MotoGP. Right, if you're new to MotoGP, guys, don't forget to check out our Introduction to MotoGP podcast episode. Just scroll back through your feeds, you will find it there. It's the show that tells you everything you need to know to understand the sport that we love. And it's a fun show. It's a long show, but it was a fun show.
It was a good show. I enjoyed that one.
Exactly. And yes, Steve, as we said, there's not much racing. Well, no real, no MotoGP racing this weekend. And very little news has happened. We've actually a recording on a different day to usual. So I'm a bit confused when I say this weekend. It's not this weekend as you guys are listening to. It's this weekend as I'm talking. So I'm a bit confused with how the space-time continuum works.
Yeah, we need to have a word with Doc and Marty and work out this flux capacitor, I tell you.
Yeah, exactly. That would be useful.
That would be useful. That's very strange. We're recording on a Sunday because we've both got busy weeks. So it's like end of race day, but with no racing. And it's just all a bit weird.
Yeah, we normally record on a Tuesday, so we've normally got the extra days for the news. So if we missed any news, we're just going to miss it and we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, we'll just have to add it on to next week's show. But yeah, been a quiet week, hasn't it, with news?
It really has with the news, with any MotoGP news, really. There's just not been any. Well, there's been a couple of bits and bobs, which we'll just dive straight into now. We had some stuff from Jorge Martin after the big crash he experienced last weekend. He broke everything by the looks of it. Did you see the pictures of him in hospital?
Yeah, he just looks battered, mate. I didn't realise he'd bust that much. I mean, there was plasters everywhere.
Yeah, and it was all four limbs. He's done like one hand, one wrist, one ankle, a few toes on the other foot, but everything, every limb is either in plaster or under some compression or bandaged up. Like, he's had a lot of surgery.
He has had a lot of surgery, bless him. Now, he put on some pictures on Instagram. He's got cages on his leg, obviously supports and
yeah,
all sorts of stuff going on. He did post a picture earlier today and he's got all that framework off.
Okay.
We're sort of doing some leg movements, just raising and lowering his legs. So it looks like it's going well.
Well, I mean, he's a fit lad, isn't he? Like, if you're going to break everything, you want to be in the best shape possible before you do that, because your body will recover much quicker.
Exactly. If you and I did it, we'd be out for months.
Mate, I'd be done. Absolutely done. No two ways about it.
You want me to stand up? Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, you want me to even think about racing again? Not a chance, pal.
Not going to happen. These dudes, it's just like, yeah, we'll be out tomorrow.
Yeah, it's bonkers, mate. Absolutely bonkers.
It is insane. But yeah, so far he looks good. Looks like he's well on the road to recovery already.
Yes, he certainly does. So, we do know he'll be definitely missing the next two rounds, though. He will be missing both Jerez and Le Mans, and is aiming to be back for Mugello at the end of May. So he's kind of put himself at almost a month's recovery time now. But isn't it mental, though? Because if you and I did what he did and had to have like external fixators on our leg or and surgery on our wrists and our arms, there is no way in hell I'd be going back to work in a month. And that's like to work in an office. I'll be like, I'm fucking milking this for as long as I can. But this lad's just going to go back and ride a monster motorbike again, in theory, in just over a month.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it? Just how different these guys are to us. Just these standard, well, like average Joes. You know, we'd be, I think, just a standard break for us is at least six weeks recovery.
Yeah, exactly.
Or just to get the cast off. If you have a permanent cast, it's like 6 weeks minimum. So yeah, these guys are just insane.
Yeah, absolutely nuts. But how do we think this is? Obviously, he had pretty good opening two races. Well, he had a very good second race of his MotoGP career. His first race was an interesting start, but he dropped back pretty quick. How do we think this is going to impact his progression? Because I feel like he was really coming on strong very quickly. He was improving a lot and he was looking good. Is this going to have an effect, do we think? Is he going to be knocked back on his confidence, or is he just going to be like, right, well, I'm going to miss two rounds, I'll come back for Mugello, where we know the Ducati's going to be strong, and he'll be fine?
I think he'll be all right. I think he's a young lad. He obviously knows he can go well on that bike. I think it will affect his results a little bit, but he's intelligent. He'll take it easy. I don't think he'll risk that much being a rookie. I don't know, it might hinder him a little bit, but I don't think it's going to have the massive impact that we think. I think obviously he'll be in a lot of pain and he might slip back towards the end of a race.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm quite confident that it's not going to affect him as much as what we would think it would.
Okay, well, we'll wait and see. See, I'm a bit torn about it because the reason I decided not to pick him in our prediction show to be my Rookie of the Year or who I thought would be Rookie of the Year was because when we looked at his early seasons, he's been quite crashy. And I thought that this could affect him and it's already come to affect him. So hopefully it's just this is the blip and he'll be okay from there.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. We'll see.
Yes. Yeah. Did you see the Alpine Stars data from the crash that they released?
Yes, mate. Looked horrid.
Insane, man. 5 seconds he was tumbling for. 5 seconds of tumbling.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And 4 spikes of impact over 25G during the 5 seconds of tumble. So 4 times he hit 25G impacts.
That's insane.
That's absolutely one for each limb, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go. There's the brakes. Duff, duff, duff. Yeah. Looking at that, it's a wonder it wasn't worse.
Yeah, quite. Well, I mean, to be fair, when we looked at the crash initially, like, it was a scary one. It was quite a surprise that he's as okay as he is anyway.
Yeah, it's a bonkers crash. But it also shows testament to, like, how good protective gear is.
Yeah.
And the safety measures put in place by, like, the gravel traps and the tracks. You know, if you pulled that equivalent on a road bike, just on, like, say we were just blasting around the country roads here.
Oh, game over. You're done.
Absolute game over. Obviously, there's more to hit, cars, trees, all sorts of stuff. But if you just slid down the road tumbling in standard road leathers, Christ knows what you'd be like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the airbags, everything is really, really good.
Yeah. I really like the fact that you can actually buy those now. They're a bit too expensive for my liking, but obviously prices will come down in the future.
Yeah, they will come down. I don't know, are they the same ones is in MotoGP, though, where they can expand twice, or do you have to recharge them if they do go off, or do you just have to bin the lot and get a new set?
I have absolutely no idea. I'd like to think you could recharge them, because that does seem like quite wasteful.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that all manufacturers would sort of go down the lines of thinking, right, you know, we live in a very carbon-friendly time. Let's not make it chuck away stuff.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I imagine you're right on that. Plus, it's even just the finance of it, isn't it? If I've got to go drop 700 quid on leathers every time I fall off my bike, I'm going to be pretty raging. I fall off a lot.
I've never really fallen off, but like, I try and buy as much, like, the best gear I can just to save myself, just in case.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get the lid out of the cupboard and get it ready to go out for a ride, and I set it down the bed, like middle of the bed, very carefully.
You're like, I'm not risking this falling off.
No, because I'm a strong believer. Like, I was always told, if you drop a lid, that's it, you replace it.
Yeah, exactly.
You do not take the risk. Like, I've put it down the bed before, and Enzo's picked it up. I'm like,
and there you are, just launching Enzo out of the room.
Yeah, you haven't got an airbag fitted, mate. Boof. Bless him, he picked it up once and, like, I didn't realise he'd smear sticky handprints all across the visor.
Oh, that's so annoying. Kids are so gross.
I don't know what he'd been eating. I think he'd had banana, and of course they'd pick bits off of it and all this jazz and all that. And I remember getting out on Dad's bike and, like, dropping the visor, it's like a big smear. I was like,
oh
yeah, this ain't gonna happen, is it? Just couldn't see a thing. I was like,
oh, that's so gross. So Jorge Martin, anyway, he is going to be out, as we said, for Jerez and Le Mans. We do know that for Jerez, he's going to be replaced not by Michele Pirro, which was what everyone was expecting. Obviously, Michele Pirro as the test rider and just the replacement rider for all the Ducati teams. He's actually going to be busy doing a private test at Mugello that weekend. So we get to see the return of one Tito Rabat coming back for the race.
I'm quite looking forward to this.
It's going to be an interesting one. It'll be Rabat's best ever MotoGP ride.
Yeah, the best bike he's ever been on. So he's probably rubbing his hands together like, whoa, let's have some of this.
Quite.
And how good would it be if he actually came back and just had an awesome, awesome race?
Oh my God, even if he puts it in the top 10, like, fucking result. Imagine if he just came back and just puts it on the box. Like, happy days, that's a third place. I'll take that. I'll take my one and only MotoGP podium.
Yeah, just comes back. He's like, yeah, that'll do, lads. See ya.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. I think that's highly unlikely. But, you know, I can see him via the GP21. He could easily get into the points, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I say easily, you know, but it wouldn't be easy for anyone, but you would expect him to be able to get into the points.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get some serious scalps under his belt just from this one ride.
Mm.
So, but good luck to the lad. Come back, give it your all.
Yeah. Nothing,
just don't hurt yourself.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. And it's actually a very good way to get his eye in before the... Because obviously he's riding World Superbike this season with Barney Ducati squad. Mm. And that season doesn't start till nearly the end of May. So this is a good way to get some training in beforehand.
Absolutely. I was quite surprised when we were speaking, was it last week, and we looked up when World Superbike starts. It said like May. I was like, May?
Yeah, and it's like May 25th or something. Like it's late
23rd.
It's like
right at the end. Normally, with World Superbikes, they have one race really early in the year, and then they have like a month off or something.
That's a good point. It's always Phillip Island, and it's always in February.
Yeah, and then they're just like, we'll have a month off.
Yeah.
And then we'll make you all wait, just wait your appetite, and then bucker off.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, cheers. It's like the waiter when he walks past your table in a restaurant with, like, what you ordered. And you're like, oh, not mine.
I'm always just like, God, I wish I had ordered that because that looks fucking delicious.
Yeah, I do exactly the same. I'm one of those people, I sit in a restaurant, I'm like, what's that?
Yeah.
I want that. No, I want that. That looks good.
I'm a bit of a nightmare for that. I often just be like, right, what on this menu don't I know? But I've literally got no idea what this dish is. I'm having that.
Yeah. Basically, I did say I'd like one, like an option at the bottom where you can have like a platter of everything, but like small, so you get to try the lot.
Mm, that's a great idea. That's my kind of restaurant, Steve.
Yeah, obviously it'd be quite pricey, but it's just like, buff, I'll have a Z lot.
Just everything. I'll have the mini versions of everything.
Yeah, basically. Everything in miniature.
So, as well as having Rabat on the grid, we are also going to have the wild card in Stefan Bradl on the grid in Jerez this weekend coming.
Yeah, and he will be riding the very, very nice HRC colours.
Yeah, and I've been chatting to some people in the Facebook group about that, Steve. I like the HRC livery. I really like it, and I'm happy to see it back.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm completely with you on that one. I think it's fantastic looking. I'm quite glad they don't break it out all the time.
Yes.
Because then you just get used to it and it'd be like standard livery. But when you get a wild card come out and they put the HRC livery on the bike, I'm just like, yes, I like that.
Yeah, that's exactly it, isn't it? It would be if it was, it's special and it feels nice because it is a rare treat to see it.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure he'll be like, look at me.
Exactly. It's going to be interesting to see how he does actually, because there was occasions last year that when Marc Marquez wasn't there, where Stefan Bradl was easily the fastest Honda.
Yeah, it's going to be quite a, not a, I want to say a battle, it won't be a battle, but it'll be interesting to see who comes out top Honda.
Yes, I'm convinced it will still be Marc Marquez. I mean, Marc Marquez
sure
came out on top Honda after not having ridden the bike for 9 months like last time out.
I don't know. I just kind of sort of want to see Bradl beat him. just for that bragging, right? So he could just like roll back in the garage.
He's like, I might be a fucking test rider and a commentator, but I know what's going on here.
I just beat you.
Yeah.
And everyone else Mark beat last week, you'd just be like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's like, for fuck's sake, why does he have to come back here now?
Yep, two of them.
Yeah.
Where's that fucking big window?
Yeah. God, Marc Marquez and his fucking windows. Nightmare. So, the final bit of news, really, and there really hasn't been a lot, so we're going to talk about this, is the media centre at every MotoGP race has now gone fully paper-free.
That's good. I like that fact.
Yeah, it's a good one, that. I, as you know, Steve, I'm a bit of a tree hugger, you could say, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I like everything being eco and green. I'm very pro electric vehicles, as we've discussed in the past, and this seems to be, it's a very big step and a very good step. And I was surprised when I learned how much paper this fucking media center usually goes through.
Yeah, a lot.
Absolutely insane. They're saying across a season it's almost a ton of paper goes through the media center. They were printing 20,000 pages of results sheets every weekend alone, man.
Like, that's insane.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And it's not just the paper, it's the electricity, it's the ink, it's everything involved in that. Like, it's just unnecessary. And they have had for a long time, they've had it all digitized. Obviously, you can just go on the website, you can see the results things, and they were putting QR codes up in the media centers, but people just weren't using them. So like, this technology's been there for ages, but people were still just being like, nah, we want our paper. We don't want any of this. We just want it on paper because that's what we know. But now Dawn are forcing all these journalists to be like, nah, you're not having paper. This is it. It's going to all be online now.
I think it's good. I really like the fact that they've done it. And everyone, let's face it, anyone who will need it will have a smartphone or some like tablet, which they could just scan that card.
Yeah, well, I mean, find me a journalist that's working anywhere near the MotoGP paddock that doesn't have a smartphone or a computer or, you know, a tablet or access to the internet. Like, it just doesn't exist.
There's bound to be that one old schooler out there that would just be like, me, yeah. Me.
You'd be like, well, you need to... Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, I don't know how you've still got a job then, mate. What are you doing? Sending in your articles like carrier pigeon?
Yeah, he just hands it. He's the one bloke that rocks up on a Sunday night to that postbox at the front door and just goes, here you go.
Yeah, he has to phone up his editor and be like, right, I'll read you the article so you can write it down your end.
You wouldn't want a bad line, would you?
Crappy start Zoom again? Call.
Yeah, just start again. No, I think it's really good. I think they could like apply that to a lot of stuff as well. Like anything you buy a new telly, you don't get an instruction book. You just get a little sticker inside with a QR code on it. Bosh.
Yeah, certainly. That would work. And that's probably the future as well. And it's going to be cheaper for manufacturers like in that scenario because, okay, Toshiba, for example, it might only cost them 2 pence to make the booklet to put in every TV they sell. But if they're selling like millions of TVs a year... That adds up pretty quick. So it makes sense for all parties to just scrap that paper. Let's just have the QR code. And I do think this is the first step in the MotoGP world of getting rid of paper from the paddock full stop. So it's certainly a good one. And it's better late than never because I do think it's later than it should have been. But better late than never. And it's a good move. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, a big step forward.
Not that I think anyone cares whether you and I are happy with it, but I'm happy with it.
Greta will be happy, mate. That's
Greta fine. Will be chuffed, mate. Greta will be chuffed. That's about it for the news, Steve. It has been quite a short one. So let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we'll dive straight into our preview of the Gran Premio Red Bull de España.
Do that, mate.
Good stuff. Guys, bear with us one moment and we'll be right back with you.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Thank you for bearing with us there, guys. We will be diving straight into our preview here. I didn't even get up for a drink today. I just sat here and stared off at the camera for a little while. And Steve also didn't move. Steve's just there, also staring off into the camera.
Yeah, we do that a lot. Just stare at each other through the little light at the top of the laptop.
Yeah, exactly. It's like staring into someone's eyes. It's very mesmerizing.
It is, just remotely.
It's weird how romance works these days, eh, Steve?
It is, yes.
So we, as we have said, are going to Jerez this coming weekend for the Gran Premio Red Bull de España, the Grand Prix, the Red Bull Grand Prix of Spain.
Yes.
And it's at the Circuito de Jerez. I can't even get my words out. Circuito de Jerez, the Angel Nieto circuit in Spain, obviously. And this weekend we are featuring MotoGP, Moto2, Moto3, and MotoE's back, Steve.
Yes, mate. Very happy about that. Completely looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, actually. I'm looking forward to seeing it more than I thought I would be. I didn't think, while I have been excited about it, and I've enjoyed the racing over the last couple of seasons, I'm actually looking forward to it more and more now. And this year, I'm getting pretty stoked for it.
Yeah, the first year I was like really into it. But like you say, every year it's just like the hype around it is getting bigger, and I just can't wait to see it. Like kick off a bit of practice Friday.
Yeah, and the racing's good as well, just because I think a lot of it's because they have less practice time. So they haven't nailed their laps in so much. The bikes are heavy, heavy machines.
They are hench, mate.
But the racing can be close, and I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing I really hope that is different this year is we get full televised coverage of the qualifying and practice. Because they haven't done it before. Which I find really, really annoying.
We've had qualifying before, haven't we? I think I've watched qualifying sessions before.
You do get qualified, yeah, I'm sorry. But you don't get practices.
Okay.
So I think it is on the video pass, but it's not televised like through BT Sport that we get over here.
Oh, okay. And I bet a lot of that's just because BT Sport haven't bothered paying for the contract, because actually, whereas you and I do like it, and I think a lot of fans do really like it, there are still a lot of fans that are like, ooh, electric, no thank you. So maybe they wouldn't want you. Maybe it's not worth it for BT Sport to pay for that contract.
Yeah, I'd imagine the number of people that switch off when it's not like internal combustion engines will probably be loads.
Yeah.
So the rights for it and paying out for it is not worth it. Yeah, but it will be one day.
Yes, exactly.
So, personally, I'd love to see it. But there we go. I'll still be tuning in Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep. Exactly, as will I, my friend, as will I. And we'll be tuning in for all of the rounds, but for MotoGP, and for those of you who are only going to be tuning in for MotoGP, first practice is on Friday at 09:55 local time. That's GMT plus 2, which confusingly is just an hour ahead of us at the moment, Steve.
Don't. Hate it. I've got to remember to be settled in to my little fishing swim and just flick it on.
That's it. You're going to be spending the weekend fishing, aren't you? So you're going to be at the lake with your dangling your rod in the water and watching men in leathers ride around in circles.
I will be very, very happy.
It sounds like a great weekend.
I will be extremely happy this weekend. I've been like, relaxed outdoors with bikes. What more do you want? Fishing.
Happy days. And you will be there Friday and Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, I'll be coming home on Sunday morning.
Right, so Saturday, Steve, Q1 for MotoGP takes place at 2:10 local time. Again, GMT plus 2, which is BST plus 1. And Q2 is at 2:25. That's 14:35 local time. So don't be forgetting those, Steve. They are the important ones to remember.
There'll be reminders on the phone. Everything will be plugged in and ready to go.
Happy days. And then, Steve, when you're home, and for all of those of you listening out there, the race is at 2:00 local time on the Sunday. So don't miss that. That is what we're all here for. Circuit stats then, Steve, for Jerez. The circuit is 2.75 miles in length. That's 4.4 kilometers. There are 13 corners, 5 of them left-handers, 8 of them are right-handers, meaning this is predominantly a clockwise circuit, yes. I think. I said that with quite a lot of confidence, and now I've confused myself with which way is clockwise, but I think that's clockwise, so I'm going to stick with it. I can see you thinking about it.
Yeah, I just had to picture it then. I was like, there's more rights than left, so it's got to be clockwise.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm glad we came to the same conclusion on that one. This is the thinnest track that we've been to so far this year, Steve. 11 meters wide, still pretty wide, but not quite as wide as Portimao or Qatar.
No, it'd probably feel like a squeeze to these boys though. But there you go.
Oh, I imagine it will, especially after coming from Portimao, which is a wide, wide circuit, as we've discovered. Yes. And the longest strait at Jerez is 607 meters in length. So again, quite a short one.
It is, yeah. I was surprised actually how short that is, because when you look at it on telly, it seems like it must be longer. But then thinking about it, no, it's not a long strait, is it?
No. No, they're nice short ones, which means those Ducatis won't really be able to do what they've been doing in the last few races, which is in that last few, or the last sector of the longest straights, have really had the legs on everyone. It'll be interesting to see whether a slightly shorter straight will compress the field's top speeds a little.
Hopefully, but like we said before, this is going to be one of the tracks with where we're going to see the different advantages really sort of come into their own.
Yeah.
So once we hit Mugello, obviously the Ducati is just going to be like able to open itself up and just fly.
It's going to be mental, mate. And it's going to be scary over the little bump and along the straight in Mugello, I think, this year.
Oh, I'm pretty sure Ducati, when Pirro rocks up, we're going to be like, nope.
Yeah, they're like, no, Pirro, no, you don't be doing that. And if you do have to pull the brakes, just gently first, make sure they're there, and then go.
Yeah, there'd be like standard braking point, and then 100 meters back, it'd be like Pirro's.
Yeah.
tap brakes on.
Yes, exactly. So Jerez first appeared on the MotoGP calendar. It wouldn't have been MotoGP at the time. It would have been the Grand Prix Premier Class calendar in 1987. And I think has been on the calendar ever since.
Yes, mate. I don't think we've ever had a break from it.
Okay. The most wins comfortably goes to Valentino Rossi with 7 wins across his career here. Marc Marquez and Jorge Lorenzo have 3 apiece. Realistically, though, there's not going to be one of those guys winning, is it? Valentino Rossi isn't going to go and win a race here. Marc Marquez probably isn't going to win a race here. And if Jorge Lorenzo wins the race here this weekend, Steve, I will eat my hat.
I think a lot of people will eat their hat, mate. Marquez, absolutely not. No, I can't see him winning. I would actually give Rossi more of a shout of winning than Marquez at this point.
I mean, Marquez outperformed Rossi, though, in the last round.
I know. The fanboy is coming out.
you just can't help yourself, can you?
You never can. You've always got to defend the bloke. But I don't know. It's a track he obviously really likes. So I think this track could be one of his better results this year.
And he certainly had very good results here in the past. Obviously, 7 wins, but some of those were not all that long ago.
No, they weren't. So we'll see.
He needs something. He needs some magic here because things are not looking good, are they?
No, not at all, mate. Not at all. He at least needs a top 10 finish here.
Yes, exactly. And if he can't get it here, then fucking hell, that's game over.
I think so, yeah. There's a lot of people talking about it already. But we'll see. We'll see. It's not writing him off just yet. But I think, you know, that letter's in the envelope. You're just about to lick that seal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I admire, though, the optimism, the fanboy optimism that is radiating off you, Steve. You're like, not yet. I can't write him off yet.
You never can. It's just, you know, it's like a loyal thing. He was one of the reasons why I got into this sport, and you know, he's still there all those years later. So it's hard not to defend. Really hard. Fair. It's like, yeah, Old Faithful. Just coming with you for that last walk.
Just the last one. Valet, we just need one more.
just one more lap.
So the outright lap record at Jerez belongs to Fabio Quartararo, and he set it here last year, and that was a 136.705. That's also the pole lap record, which still belongs to Quartararo. The race lap record, on the other hand, belongs to one Marc Marquez as a 139.051, which now I've written the note, Steve, but now I'm looking at it. Are we really thinking that the race lap record is 2.5 seconds slower than the pole record?
I don't know. I have got some stats up on the other page. 1 second. Your face is blocking these stats.
That's not good. I was just here pulling a confused expression because I'm confused by my own notes here, because 2.5 seconds seems like quite a jump.
It does, actually. Let's have a look. Grand Prix motorcycle. Blah, blah, blah.
Steve's about to drop the truth bomb on us here.
Race lap record, 138.
A 138 point. Okay. That makes more sense. I had it as a 139, so I just got it a second out.
Typo. It's just a typo, Tim.
Typo. that's fine. My bad. That makes more sense. I can understand how a pole lap record would be a second and a half faster than a race lap record. But the 2.5 confused me there.
All right.
So the race distance, Steve, MotoGP will be covering 25 laps, which will be a total of 110 kilometers or 68.8 miles. Moto2 are covering 23 laps, 101 kilometers or 63.3 miles. And Moto3 will be covering just 22 laps for 97.3 kilometers or 60.5 miles. I don't know how many laps MotoE are covering. I imagine it will be sure. 6 or 7, but I don't know that off the top of my head.
No, it won't be a lot, will it? Maximum, absolute maximum of 10, no more.
I don't think it's normally that. I think it normally is about 7, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not much. I'm just overshooting it, just rounding it up for shits and giggles.
That's fair. Steve, do you have a prediction for this weekend? Who is going to win? And let's do our Marquez predictions again, because fun.
Yeah, we weren't far away last time, were we?
The Marquez predictions were okay. The rest of our predictions were a bit shit.
They were a bit wanky. I think he'll be sixth.
You think Mark Marquez is going to be sixth?
Yes.
Okay. And the rest of the podium, Steve?
I think it will be, I don't know, a rare short track, Yamaha. I think it will be Vinales from Quartararo. And then I'm a bit lost after that. Rins, I think.
You're going a Vinales, Quartararo, Rins, eh?
Yes.
I am going all in on Yamaha, Steve, and I'm going to go for a Quartararo, Vinales, Morbidelli podium.
Yeah, that's a fair shout.
I think Morbidelli has certainly needs to do something now. And the fourth place last week was good, but let's see if we can one better that and grab a third in this race. And I think Marc Marquez is going to get a fifth place.
Oh, I think it'll be somewhere around there. Top five would be awesome.
Yes, it would be. And you never know. He's got a good track record at Jerez as well. He could just come back and just, boom, smash it all.
Oh, I'm just thinking that this is a very physical track. There's no rest on here, is there?
No, that's a very good point.
So, you know, I think he's going to wear him, although he's had another week to recover.
But he's not been riding at all, has he? His doctors told him he wasn't allowed to ride a motorbike between the two races. So between Portimao and Jerez, no motorbikes. Which does beg the question, how fit to ride can he really be?
Exactly. If he can only afford to do one weekend, and that's it. He can't do anything else. He can't be that fit yet. I reckon I would imagine they've let him back on the very, very cusp of being fit to race.
Yeah, I think that's bang on.
Yeah, I think he's probably just scraped through that medical on hopes and dreams, basically.
Yes, I think you're probably right about that.
But we'll see whether that'll hinder him. I'm not sure. Well, obviously he has, but
He's hindered him for quite a while, actually.
It has hindered. Well, from now on, since he's back, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
We'll see. We haven't got long to go. A week.
Yeah, exactly. A week from now, a week from when we're recording, we'll know. And from when you guys are listening, it'll only be a few days.
All right.
That kind of brings us to the end, Steve. It's been quite a short one, but as discussed, I'm hungover, knackered, and just a bit burnt and bruised.
You didn't lose any dreadlock, did you?
No, the dreads are still there, mate. The hair is all still good. The only hair I lost was on my arms and legs, so we're okay with that.
That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think that brings us to the end of the show, guys. If you have predictions, anything you want to say to us, any questions at all, you can find us on...
Oh, hang on, I was swigging a bit.
Oh no, Steve, I wasn't even watching the camera, mate. If I'd have known you were swigging and I'd have been paying attention, I'd have dragged that on a little bit longer. That's my bad.
Right, hang on.
Oh, we've really put him off here. This ain't good, is it?
Those we like mid-swallow. Right, let's go for this again. We are For the Love of MotoGP. Come and find us on Instagram and Twitter. Or we have a Facebook page, a Facebook community. Come across there. The conversation's flowing. It's been great. Or drop us an email. We are For the Love of MotoGP @gmail.com.
Look at that. Nailed it this time. Nearly drowned on your beer trying to do it, but or your drink. Was it a beer? I missed that
as well.
It is
a beer, actually. I only just cracked it because I forgot it was in the fridge.
Nice, that's a treat. There we go. So you choked on your beer, but you nailed everything else. Happy days.
It's all good.
That'll do the job, guys. And if you do have your predictions, actually, and you think you're pretty good with your predictions, then you should jump and join our fantasy league. It's an official fantasy league of the MotoGP website, or from the MotoGP website, and you can find the link to our league in the show notes. And actually, I've been MotoGP.com do a great analysis of the fantasy league every week. It just appears in their news articles thing, and it's quite good fun. They discuss who's doing the best and give little hints and tips every now and again. So if you're getting into the fantasy league, that's certainly worth checking out as well.
Oh yeah, I've been like looking at that and just picking up little snippets.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been looking at it, ignoring it, and then doing my own thing, and then realizing they're probably right.
Oh, although last week, I think nearly everyone's fantasy league took a hit.
Yes, it certainly did.
Every single person that I spoke to has been like, yeah, I had Zarco. Yeah, I had Rins.
Yeah, I had Zarco, I had Rins, I had Oliveira. Like, people have not had a good weekend.
No. Oh, well, there's plenty more to come.
Exactly, my friend. Exactly. Plenty more races, plenty more time to get your points up. Steve, any final thoughts at all?
No, mate. Just let's look forward to a cracking weekend of racing.
Yep, let's do that, my friend. I'm stoked for it. I'm getting excited already, and it's almost an entire week away. But guys, thank you for listening. This has been a much shorter show. As discussed, I'm just tired, and there wasn't a lot of news, full stop, really. So...
No, short one for you this week.
Yes, exactly. As Steve said, we are all a little bit burnt out. So I'm going to go to bed. And guys, stay safe out there. Look after each other. Fist bumps, elbow bumps. None of them handshakes, guys. We're still not cool with the handshakes. The most important thing, as I've already said, is just look after each other. Speak to you after the Jerez race, guys. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Take care, guys.
Music is by Andrew Greenwood. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.